Bibles or your smart device and open this morning to Luke 19, verse 10. Since it was founded in 1995, more than 3 billion items have sold on eBay. Some pretty odd products have been sold, and occasionally something priceless finds its way onto what has been called the largest garage sale in the world. For example, let me share some of these with you. In 1954, Albert Einstein wrote a letter to philosopher Eric Gutkin to find in the letter he defended his views on ethics, religion, and human nature. 60 years later, 2014, that letter sold on eBay for $3 million. Goodness, goodness, goodness. This one's really fascinating. A piece of rock that was formed on the surface of Mars somehow got dislodged from its resting place there on the red planet, I would guess from some meteor, sent it skyrocketing, and it rocketed through space and crash-landed on Earth. You know, the chances of that happening are astronomical. But a small piece of that rock sold on eBay for $450,000 for a piece of that rock. In 2002, an eBay post advertised the sale of an entire working town. According to the post, it just needed a good developer to get a hold of it. So this completely empty but ready to occupy town, which by the way had its own zip code and already had a name, the name of the town was Bridgeville, California, eventually sold on eBay for $1.25 million. So if you have a town laying around you want to sell, eBay is the place to do it. Here's one last one. A man from North Carolina made this boast on eBay. I have discovered the reason for existence and will be happy to share this information with the highest bidder. The starting bid was 1 cent, but it skyrocketed and finally sold for $3.26. Neither the buyer nor the seller have gone public with this valuable piece of information. I tell you what, I think if anybody had believed the man, if anybody believed he really knew the secret to life, the meaning of life, I think it would have been the highest selling item ever in the history of eBay. Everyone wants to know the meaning of life. Everyone wants to know the purpose in life. Even those who follow Christ Jesus, we really are still searching for the meaning of life. Christopher Parkening had become the greatest classical guitarist in the world by the time he was 30. But his success failed to bring him meaning in life, so he walked away from music, which is just hard to imagine, bought himself a ranch, thinking that would bring him meaning in life. That didn't work either. When his life grew increasingly empty, he wrote this, and I quote, "If you arrive at a point in your life where you have everything that you've ever wanted and thought that would bring you a sense of meaning, and it still doesn't, then you start to question things." And I'll just compress what followed next. He went to visit some friends who carried with them to church, where he was moved by the Holy Spirit, gave his life to Christ Jesus, and began following Christ Jesus. Now here is the world's leading classical guitarist. He went back to playing guitar in the church's praise band. Can you imagine that, Tom? World's leading classical guitarist playing guitar in the church's praise band and also talking to other people about how to experience what he's experienced, and he's leading other people to faith in Christ Jesus. He says this, and I quote, "I have a joy, a peace, and a deep down meaningfulness in my life I have never had before." Not just giving his life to Christ, but helping other people find faith in Christ Jesus has brought him meaning. Here's this man who led the world in his vocation, finally found meaning helping others give their lives to Christ Jesus. Well, we're going to entitle our message this morning, True Meaning. We find true meaning in life when we help Jesus find and save the lost. Our scripture passage this morning comes at the end of an encounter Jesus had with a rich man named Zacchaeus. Let me just kind of set this up. You know the story. Zacchaeus is a wealthy man, but he's short in stature, so he climbs up in a tree. And we don't get the idea he's 40 feet off the ground on an oak tree. That's not the idea. He just climbed far enough into probably in a juniper tree or something to see over the crowd. And Jesus comes along and sees this head sticking up above the crowd and calls Zacchaeus over to him. And there, Zacchaeus sold his life out to Christ Jesus, gave his life to Christ Jesus, and in return, Christ gave him salvation. And then we read this in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus speaking, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost." That's a powerful statement. It reveals so much. Let me read it again. Jesus says, "The Son of Man," referring to himself, "has come," here's his purpose, "to seek and to save the lost." So we're thinking this morning about our meaning in life. What is our meaning in life? Now, I'm going to kick that can down the road just a little bit and lay a little bit of foundation. Here's where I want to start. Some people really are lost. We use that term a lot. Lost. He's lost, she's lost, they're lost. Some people really are lost. That's not a hypothetical. That's not just a theological church word. Some people really are lost. Generally speaking, if we get into the dictionary, being lost means it cannot be found. An item cannot be found. I'll tell you what, for several days last week, Linda lost her iPad. It was a miserable time. In our house, it was a miserable several days for a couple reasons. First of all, Linda really uses her iPad a lot. She has a desktop computer at the house, but she never uses it because the iPad has kind of become those of you watching on video, she just held up her iPad. So she gives the end of my story away. So you know, she uses the iPad like a computer. She does research on it. She's on Facebook using the iPad. She uses it for emailing, all these different things, communicating with people. So she really was miserable not knowing where her iPad was. I wasn't concerned for any of those reasons. I was concerned because that's an expensive item, and I didn't want to have to buy her another one. She literally could not sleep. So one night, in the middle of the night, 2 a.m. in the morning, in fact, she's up with a flashlight looking for her iPad. Her reasoning for not turning on the light was, if you have a flashlight, you're focused on just that one spot. That makes no sense to me at all. But anyway, she's up with her flashlight, and she found her iPad underneath the driver's seat in her car. And do you know what the first thing she did was after she found her iPad? She woke me up. I found my iPad. Oh, more. Listen to this. Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 3. Jesus speaking, "What man among you who has 100 sheep and loses one of them does not leave the 99 in the open field and go after the lost one until he finds it? When he's found it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, and coming home, he calls his friends and neighbors together, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 people who don't need repentance." It's a great visual, isn't it? A sheep is lost, really lost, cannot be found, and now that sheep is found. See, that's adding meaning to why Jesus says the Son of Man has come. But here's the thing. No one's ever physically lost from God. You understand that? God knows where everyone is. So we're not talking about physically being misplaced. In this metaphor of the lost sheep, in this parable of the lost sheep, and also in our passage, the lostness Jesus is talking about is spiritual lostness. God has a path for us. And God's path is the only acceptable path for any of us. There are not multiple acceptable paths. There's only one acceptable path for all of us, for each of us. And the problem is, sometimes a person gets strayed off God's path. And we've all done that. That's happened to everybody. In fact, everybody starts out that way. Isaiah 53, 6. We all went astray like sheep. We all have turned to our own way. Everybody. So, spiritual lostness is this idea of being separated from God. And everybody starts out that way. Everybody starts out that way. Some here today are still that way, wondering what's going on. The result, when a person is strayed off God's path, which everyone does, is they become separated from God spiritually. But here's the thing I want to drive home on this point. Everyone is not okay. We wish they were, but that's not the case. Everyone in your family is not all okay. Your colleagues at work are not all okay. Your neighbors are not all okay. Everyone in this world is not all okay. We kind of go through life acting as though everyone is okay. Everyone is not all okay. There are many people who are not okay because they are lost. Many people really are lost, and that is a terrible condition to be in. I can go about my work, I can go about my job, I can go about my day, I can go about my projects, I can work on my target dates, I can manage my people, I can manage my stuff, I can spend time at home and vacation ignoring this. But where we need to begin this morning as we're thinking about the meaning of life is most people are lost, veered off God's path, separated from God. And this is where we need to begin if we're ever going to recognize the meaning of life. Do I need to spend more time on that, or do y'all have this? Okay, we're getting close. We're still not there yet. Here's the second thing I want us to understand. Jesus pursues lost people. Look back at our passage for a moment. Jesus says, "The Son of Man has come." Why'd you come, Jesus? What's your reason for being here? To seek and to save the lost. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save the lost. There are just some things that we need to know about Jesus to always keep in mind about Jesus. There are a few things that define him and explain his personality. When everything's boiled down to his basics, Jesus is not very complicated. This is one of those defining characteristics. Jesus pursues lost people in order to save them. That's what he's about. He says so. That's what he's about. What was the purpose of his sinful life and sacrificial death? Jesus was pursuing the lost in order to save them. What was the meaning behind his bodily resurrection? Jesus was pursuing lost people in order to save them. What was the driving force behind the inspiration of writing the Bible? Why the Bible? Jesus was pursuing lost people in order to save them. What has influenced all of history up to this point? Jesus has been pursuing lost people in order to save them. What motivates him in all that he does today? Jesus is pursuing lost people in order to save them. Are you catching up with me? Why is the Holy Spirit moving in the world today? Why is the Holy Spirit active in the world today? What's the Holy Spirit all about? Jesus is pursuing lost people in order to save them. What is God's ultimate plan in my life? Jesus wants to work through me in order to help save lost people. What is Jesus' ultimate plan in your life? What are you all about? What's the meaning in your life? Jesus wants to work through you in order to save lost people. Jesus wants to pursue through you the lost. We're getting close to the meaning here, aren't we? Jesus will pursue any avenue in order to save lost people. An article in the Boston Globe tells the true story of Zeke, the box turtle. Zeke lived securely in the home of Bob and Debbie Young of Beverly, Massachusetts for 31 years. I didn't know they lived that long, did you? Apparently, after 31 years, Zeke longed to see the world. So on July 30th, 2012, Zeke made a not-so-quick escape when the house cat pawed open the screen door. Zeke saw his opportunity and zipped. Out the door. For over a month, Zeke, dubbed in the newspaper the Prodigal Turtle, was on the run. Finally, their neighbor's golden retriever sniffed out Zeke, who was trying to hide in some ivy. Zeke's month-long journey had taken him about 1,000 feet. Here's the really interesting thing. When the Youngs first realized Zeke was gone, they placed ads in the newspaper. They put up posters all over town with Zeke's photograph. They hired the services of a search and rescue dog specifically trained to track down reptiles. And they even offered a cash reward for the safe return of Zeke, the prodigal box turtle. So this is not really a story about Zeke. It's a story about Bob and Debbie Young. Who, for the love of a 31-year-old box turtle, spared no expense in pursuing him in order to save him. The story we're considering this morning is not a story about us. We have no intrinsic value. I'm just 175 pounds of blood and flesh and bone. There's nothing about me that's special. This is a story about Jesus who loves me so much, he'll spare no expense in pursuing me and saving me. This is not a story about you. This is a story about Jesus who will spare no expense in pursuing you and saving you. Listen to me. This is not about the people around us. This is a story about Jesus who will spare no expense in pursuing them and saving them. That's who Jesus is. That's what Jesus is about. Thinking about our meaning, everybody wants to know. Here's where we're going to land. We are extensions of Jesus. We started out talking about true meaning in life. Here it is. On the day we gave our lives to Christ, he moved into us with his Holy Spirit, and when he did, he brought with him his DNA. The only thing valuable about me is his DNA in me. I have no other value. I have no other worth. I have no other meaning. The only thing valuable about me is when the Holy Spirit moved into me, when I gave my life to Christ, he brought Christ Jesus' DNA. We have DNA from our ancestors. To a large extent, that DNA determines our physical and personality characteristics. People are paying a lot of money, and I don't blame them. I think it's an interesting endeavor. Organizations like 23andMe and MyHeritage DNA and Ancestry.com to discover their DNA. They want to kind of find out what they're all about, what makes them tick from all those who have contributed to them. Well, this that we're talking about this morning is a big part of Jesus. It's a big part of his DNA the Holy Spirit brought with him when we got saved. What are we talking about? What kind of DNA are we talking about? The DNA we're talking about is we long to help Jesus find and save people. We may not know that. I'm not sure who gave me a bald spot. But somebody did. That came from somebody. I would never have chosen that. I don't know why my left ear is bigger than my right ear. You've never noticed, have you? Yeah, I kind of have, preacher. But somebody did. I would never have chosen that. You have DNA given to you by the Spirit of the living Lord Jesus that is his imputed to you, not yours. Part of that DNA is you long to help Jesus find and save people. Here's the thing, though. You know, although we have that, and we started out being conscious of that and pursuing that, I think we suppress that now. I think we suppress that eagerness, that longing in us because we've had some failures. And as a result of us suppressing that DNA, we become frustrated and we lose our joy. We lose our peace. We lose a big part of who we are. We lose our meaning because we have it suppressed. And it's not unusual. People on both sides of you, in front of you, behind you, they have it suppressed too. That's why we're addressing it this morning. Let me make just a couple of suggestions that I hope might help each of us fulfill this basic meaning in life. Get us back in touch with our DNA. First, learn to enjoy people. Do you enjoy people? Any people, all people. You enjoy them? I know they can be a pain. So can you. Do you enjoy people? I mean, for goodness sakes, Jesus loves those folks. Do you look for the good in people? Do you look for the delightful in people? Do you look at people and think, Jesus loves you? I don't know why. But I'm gonna assume there's good in you. I'm gonna assume you're a good person. I spend my weekends doing honeydews for this lady down here. I was at Lowe's, picked up my items for my honeydews. When it came time to check out, I got in the contractor checkout line, you know. If you're not familiar with Lowe's or Home Depot, if you're a small-time guy, if you're not really a project guy, you get in the regular customer's checkout. You can even go through the express line, you know. But if you're a man's man, if you're working on a major project, you go through the contractor checkout. So, it was closest one, so I went and got the contractor checkout. And I get behind this man who's covered with concrete dust. You know, he's got on his steel-toed boots. Large man. Tattoos all over him, ponytail, really rugged, a rugged man. And he's got two carts of lumber and concrete and, you know, all kinds of stuff. This man's got some major work he's doing. And as I walk up and get in line behind him, he's giving the cashier a hard time. You know, he's really telling this guy what for. And I walk up behind him and I'm standing there, you know, in my lavender t-shirt. My Vail, Colorado ball cap's got one of those fake rub places, you know, on the front. Got all my khaki cargos and my Nike spotless shoes. I walk up behind him, and I'm standing there, and I've got my light bulbs and my handful of screws, you know, for my big project back there at the house. And I'm looking at this guy, and I said, "So, you're doing honeydews for your wife too, huh?" And he turns and looks at me. Got my two light bulbs, my handful of screws there. And he just bursts into laughter. He just explodes into laughter. You know, what kind of a ridiculous guy are you? He just explodes into laughter. And we went, you know, he's a good guy. We had a lot of fun horsing around there. He was a good guy. Do you enjoy people? Do you like people? Do you look for the good in people? Jesus loves those folks. We can't go around assuming everybody is unlikable. Even if they behave unlikable, we just can't go along that way. We can't go around that. We've got to go around enjoying folks, enjoying people. Start this new habit now. Going through life, enjoying people. Looking for the good in them, talking to them, getting to know them. Some of them may bite your head off. That's okay. Some of them won't. Second thing, watch for evidence of Jesus. If Jesus is still doing what he came to do, if Jesus is still seeking and saving the lost, then look for him. Watch for him. He doesn't need my permission to deal with people. He doesn't need my permission to convict people. Let's learn to watch for Jesus and watch what he's doing. Does that make sense? He didn't just give us an assignment and then leave us. Watch for Jesus. There's no evidence Jesus is cultivating someone, move on. But if you see that a person is tender and inquisitive, more needy than usual, move in. Jesus is at work there. And he needs your help in reaching this person. You're not initiating it. Jesus is. Jesus is working on some people. He's focused on people. We're extensions of him. Here's what Jesus needs. He is in pursuit of people. He's seeking people to save them. He needs for us to watch and see where he's at work and join him. That's what he needs. That's what he needs. Let Jesus use you. You know, nothing brings more meaning to life than to fulfill our calling. We were put here for a reason. Jesus says, I've come. Here's why I've come. I've come. Everything I've done, everything I'll ever do is in pursuit to seek and to save those who are lost. I've given you my DNA. Guess what you're about? You're about helping me seek and save the lost. You don't need to be a theologian. You don't need a seminary degree. You don't need a high school diploma. All you need to be able to do is to like people and watch to see where Jesus might be at work and saying, hey, it looks like Jesus is at work on that person. I'm going to move in. I'm going to start talking to him. I'm going to become friends with him. And I'm going to let Jesus use me, if he will. I'm going to let Jesus use my personality. I'm going to let Jesus use my smile. I'm going to let Jesus use my experiences. I'm going to let Jesus use me, however he will, however he wants. Nothing brings more meaning to life. Let me make a commitment to you. I'm going to talk about this more. I have not talked about this often enough. Jesus, still at work, seeking and saving people. We have his DNA. We need to help him. You agree? Jesus is seeking and pursuing to save somebody here this morning. Right now. Is it you? Is it you? Jesus is pursuing some in this room this morning. His purpose is to save you. You really are genuinely lost. You're off his path. You can't get back unless you allow him to save you. Will you let him? Will you let him? Pastor, I'm not sure I know what that means. I know. I know you don't. But I do. Our pastors do. Our counselors do. If you'll step out, come down here to the front, let us talk to you for just a moment about what it means to be lost and what it means to be saved. You can leave here changed today. Why don't you do that? Pray with me.